Hazinu Hashemayim v'adabero v'sishma ha'oretz imrefi. The word Hazinu is, the root of the word is oizen, meaning an ear. Moshe Rabbeinu says, come, heaven, give me your ear. V'adabero, and I will speak. V'tishma ha'oretz, and the earth will hear, imrefi, the sayings of my mouth. Isa b'medrash, we learn, the medrash says, Moshe al yidei sheho yekorev l'shamayim. Moshe, because he was so close to heaven, nosan hazona l'shamayim, so he says, heaven, give me your ear. Yeshaya, the prophet Isaiah sheho yekorev l'oretz, he was close to earth, nosan hazona l'oretz. So the book of Isaiah really begins, Shimu shamayim, hear, O heaven, v'hazini oretz, and earth, lend your ears. So the order is reversed in the book of Isaiah. So the Ishbitzer picks up and he says, well, what does that mean? Moshe is close to heaven, so therefore he gives ear, he gives voice and tells the heaven to lend an ear, and Yeshaya, he's close to earth. What does that mean? So he says, Pirish to Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem, Hu HaMoyach V'HaChochme Shel Kol Yisroel. Moshe Rabbeinu is the mind. He's the mind of the Jewish people. And he, you know, when we say that he's the mind of the Jewish people, we don't just mean that he was there in that generation. We mean that he is here now. He's sitting with us here. And our mind, that is Moshe Rabbeinu. V'HaChochme. And that level of consciousness, which is chokhmah, which is the highest level of the unconscious, that part of us which is connected to the great infinite beyond, you know, that part of us which doesn't even know it's stuck inside a body. Moshe Rabbeinu is still here. V'zeh nikra shamayim. And that's what the meaning of the word heaven is. It's not a place. To state. Ubamoyach, and in the mind, yesh yecholes lekabel after vorim hakoshim laodon kigidin, the mind has the ability to listen and hear reproach and musar and chastisement and words that are tough as sinews. We've said many times that there are three levels of speech. There's amira, which is saying softly. There's dibur, which is speaking. And then there's haggadah, which is telling. You know, and each one is more difficult to hear than the other. So Moshe's the mind. The mind is infinite. The mind can receive even words that are really tough to hear. Yeshayahu halev shel kol Yisrael. Yeshaya is the heart of the Jewish people. Not just in that time, at the time of the end of the first temple in 486 BC, that's not when Yeshaya. Yeshaya is here with us. He is that heart. And you know, the mind never repeats itself twice. In your whole life, your mind never said the same thing over again. But in your whole life, your heart never said two things. In your whole life, your heart only ever said one thing. Because your heart only knows one word, and that is please. V'inyan halev, the whole meaning of heart, should say ekes tamid li Yeshua. The heart is just always crying, help, please. V'en yichol lekabel rak dov neichav. And the heart can't take hard words, it can only take soft words. V'zeh inyan shmoy shel Yeshaya. And that's the meaning of Yeshaya's name. He's called Yeshaya, and it means help. V'zeh hazinu ha'shamayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the mind, the power of the mind. Ha'koyches ha'gdoylem ha'nikru shamayim sho'a mo'ech sheyesh le'koyech le'kabel ha'koyl. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to himself, so he says, hazinu ha'shamayim. Heaven, give me your ear. V'adabeiro, and I will speak, which, as we know, that is a harsh form of address. Dibeloshen kosher. V'sishma ha'oretz, and then the earth, meaning that part of me which is the heart, the earth, that will hear the sayings of my mouth. Amira Loshen Rachel. Amira is an expression of softness. And the heart is just constantly, constantly thirsty for salvation. So even when a person speaks to himself, you have to know what part of yourself you're talking to. There's no point in shouting at yourself if you're shouting at your heart. And there's no point in whispering if you're talking to your mind. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yaroiv kamoto likhi. Let my words slice like rain. You know, the word oiref means the back of the neck. Egla rufo, orpo. It's the opposite of the face, is the back of the neck. When you're face to face with somebody, your communication is direct. If the person turns their back on you, then all you can do is oiref. Then you're faced with the back of the neck, right? Haynu shehatoyra oiches ba'arpo shel odem b'chazoka lemi shelo yirotzu lekarev elav. The Torah isn't really afraid of people who turn their back, because the Torah picks somebody up by the scruff of the neck and shakes them until they listen. Yarif kamoto likhi, Moshe Rabbeinu says, my words can slice you on the back of the neck and enter you. And it's on the back, by the back of the neck, the shoulders, that a person takes upon himself the yoke. That's how we get yoked. And so, even if you turn your back on the Torah will put its yoke on your shoulders. Then, tizal katal imrosi. Once a person is yoked to the Torah, the Moshe Rabbeinu says, and let my sayings flow like the dew. Haynu adivre Torah tiyatzle benaiche besimcha. Because, you know, the dew doesn't even require that it rain. Dew is associated with Techias HaMesim, with the resurrection of the dead. Because one of the ways that we imagine the world was created was that God breathed out. And in the breath of God are three elements. Fire, which is the heat of the breath, which rises. There's the air of the breath, which expands. And there's the moisture in the breath, which collects and condenses. So we have the fire at the top, the water at the bottom, and the air in between, which are the three mother letters, Aleph, Mem, Shin. And so in the body we have the mind, which represents fire, which is Shin, and then we have the cardiovascular system, the thorax, we have the lungs, which is air, and the heart, and then we have the stomach, which represents water. How does dew form? Warm air tries to warm the ground. The ground has no heat in it, and the warm air tries to heat it, and that's where you get condensation, and you get the dewfall. And according to the Chachamim, that is how God revives the dead. And that's why in the Shemoneh Esrei we talk about we talk about God who brings the dew, and that's the bracha of Mechai Mesim. Because God only has to breathe on us, and we are warmed again and full of moisture. So Moshe Rabbeinu says that once my words, the Torah, has grabbed you by the scruff of the neck, then already tizal katalim rosi. What is the meaning of tizal katalim rosi? My words will flow like dew, meaning that in your heart, as your heart warms, you will find yourself full of Torah, just the way that the earth finds itself wet in the morning when the dew falls, right? Basically, the earth wakes up in the morning to find itself all wet with dew. What happened? A warm wind passed over. carrying the moisture and tried to warm the earth, and so the moisture condensed, right, on the grass, on the trees, on the earth. So that's the process of Torah in us, is the same. You know, there's the Torah that we sit down and we learn, and this is Yarev Kamota Likri, right? The Torah, you have to sit down, you have to work, and you have to accept, and you have to, you know, struggle with the text. And then there's Tizal Katalim Rossi, that's the Torah which forms inside us like dew. And you ask yourself, where did this Torah come? I don't know, I didn't know this Torah was in me. And this is the promise that Moshe Rabbeinu gives us. Kisirim alei desha, like the downpour on the foliage. Pirush Rashi. Rashi says, what's the meaning of desha? Kol asovim biklal nikroim desha. When you take all the herb together, they're called foliage. If you look at one individual, yeah, this is grass, these are weeds, these are flowers, these are shrubs. But when you look at the whole thing, you look at the scenery, it's foliage, right? Kishaoretz mislabeshes bidshoim, when the earth clothes itself in greenery. So the Ishmitzer says, what does Moshe Rabbeinu mean, like the downpour on the foliage, that my words will be like the downpour on the foliage? And then the pasuk ends by saying, Kerevivim ale esev, like the showers on the shrubs or on the individual herb. So the Ishmitzer says, Kol tara mitzvos biklal sheshayachim likol Yisrael. When we talk about the foliage, and that it falls like a downpour, the Torah has to gush on us. And what does it mean, us? It means all of us. It means all the 613 mitzvahs have to rain down on us. And they are what Rashi calls, when the earth clothes itself in the greenery, that is called desha. Meaning, when we look at the Torah in general, that is called greenery. What is it, then, what is a shrub? What does it mean, kirevivim alei esev? So the Ishmitzer says, you know, it's not enough for a person to have the Torah in a general way. Kol ish, hayne neged kol ish yisro bifrat, asher kol echad makir negal avovoy. Everybody knows where their heart is weak and where it strays. Everybody knows which part of themselves needs extra care and attention. And the faults that this person has, the other person doesn't have. In Cain, where you know that you have a failing, a weakness, a flaw in the character, you have to keep on showering, drip, 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 that Divrei Torah which is the healing for that particular character flaw. So, yeah, the big Torah, the 613 mitzvahs, they come in a gush, right? But then, even when the rain is over, you still have to keep dripping and irrigating and tending, taking care of those parts which are not healed and they're not whole. And that's the meaning of kerevivim alei esev, like the shower on the shrub, which is in the singular. Kerevivim uloshen rav. So reviv, according to the Ishbitzer, contains the word rav, like a rebbe, right? Another meaning of the word rav is like more. Shetar bedivre Torah. That it's not enough to take the Torah as it comes, but for those parts of us which need care and attention, we need more. In that place where you know you have the character defect. Kishem Hashem Ekro, when I call upon the name of God, Hovu Goydel Elikenu, give greatness to God. So, the Ishbitzer says, what is the connection between Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Hazinu Hashemayim, listen, O heaven, give me your ears, earth, pay attention, let my words be like the rain, like the like the this, like the hard rain, the soft rain, the dew, the, and then he says, Kishem Hashem Ekro, when I call the name of God. So the Ishbitzer says, the word ki shouldn't really be translated here as when. But the reason I'm asking you to be silent, is Kishem Hashem Ekro, because, the word here is because. Kishem Hashem Ekra, because I am calling on the name of God. So everybody needs to be quiet. Everything in the world needs to be quiet. Omer Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma nimashti kol hakoyches ba'olam ha'elyonim. Why am I telling the mind to be quiet? Why am I telling the heart to listen? The koyches ha'elyonim anikrem shemayim kol hakoyches shenimtzu ba'aretz. Why? Hainu, because I am calling, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am crying, sheyichnesu divrei toire b'leiv kol ish Yisrael hanikroim shem Hashem. I wonder if I could ask everybody just to press their number 6, because I'm getting some feedback. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am calling the name of God. So, who is the name of God? The Jewish people are called the name of God. Knesset Yisrael, the Shechina, is the name of God. Kishem Hashem Ekro, Moshe says, when I call you, and he's speaking to us, when I'm calling the essential you, you have to turn off all the noise in your head, in your heart, in your body. You have to switch it off, because I can't call it from you unless you work with me. You know, when I talk to you, I meet you on the street, right? I say, hello, Moshe. I need to talk to you. Who am I addressing? I'm not addressing these clothes, the wool and the linen and the rayon and the cotton and the, right? I'm addressing the person inside, right? I'm not really addressing the flesh. I'm not addressing the skin of the person I'm talking to. I'm addressing deep, yeah? Not his bones. I'm not addressing the heart, the pulse. What am I addressing? Who am I addressing? When I say, Moshe, I need to talk to you, who am I addressing? It's like, if you were to take away all the clothing and all the flesh and all the bones and all the everything, there's someone inside there that I'm trying to talk to. Someone who calls himself Moshe, but it's a soul. It's not a mind. It's not a heart. It's Moshe. Moshe who came down from Gan Eden with the Neshama. That's who I want to talk to. I want to have a conversation with. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Kishem Hashem Ekro. Everybody, you all have to be quiet, because now in Parshas Hazinu, in this, the penultimate Seder in the Torah, I want to talk to you. So you have to make everything quiet. The heaven, which is your mind, the earth, which is your heart. I need to get through, past all that, to the essential you. And who is the essential you? Shem Hashem, the name of God. It's an awesome Torah, right? Who am I? Not my mind, not my brain, not all that thinking. No, not the thinking. Not my heart, not my emotions. There's an essential me in there. You can't talk to him if I'm being loud inside my head. It's a whole new... If I stop to think about it, there's a whole new world that opens up to me. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. This is what I'm here for. I'm dying tomorrow. I need to speak to you. And that's why... Because Kishem Hashem Ekru. And then he says, Hovu Goydel. He says, I need something else to happen here. I need you to give greatness. So the word Gadol means greatness, right? But it means growth. Space, Lebensraum. So Moshe says, I'm speaking now to all these things that you are that aren't normally associated with me. Hainu mokoim revach v'hispashtus. I need you to give me room inside there, inside this person that I'm talking to. I need your body to give me room. I need you to help me. And I need you to not hinder the process. Even all the outside powers, the klipot. We have klipot. We have shells. We have fingernails. We have hair. We have metaphoric fingernails and hair. Spiritual fingernails and hair. We are shedding all the time bits of skin. Spiritually, we're shedding all the time. There are parts of us which peel away. Moshe Rabbeinu says, all of you, you have to give me space. The king, the emperor of the world at that time, after Moshe Rabbeinu's time, but the metaphor for the person who enjoyed this world, Nebuchadnezzar, the hanging gardens of Babylon, the wonder, the seventh wonder of the ancient world. He lives in the desert and just in this amazing abundance. The Chaveru and Nebuchadnezzar's friends and colleagues, the kings of the Medes and the kings of the Persians, and whatever was going on, you know, that's a metaphor. We, a very big part of who we are today, is a result of the time that we spent in Babylon. Not just the time that Nebuchadnezzar brought us there when he destroyed the temple, but after the destruction of the second temple, we went back again en masse, and our Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah that we're drinking now, it comes from Bovel. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I need you to help. You know, the calendar that we have, the months, the names of the month that we brought back with us from Babel. We didn't just bring back names of the month, but we brought back some amazing mathematical equations. You know, that we've had this calendar basically for 3,000 euros now without really having to need a major adjustment. These are some of the things that we brought with us from Nebuchadnezzar and his friends, right? These are, Nebuchadnezzar and his friends are like those essences of Shemaim. We said before, Shemaim is the mind. The mind also has klipa. The mind also has outside forces that feed on it and that feed it. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you all have to give me space because I want to talk to the name of God inside this person, and you have to give me, you have to let me, you have to help me. And then those parts of us, those parts of the earth, the parts of the heart, that are called the despoilers of the day, you know. What should I tell you? When we wake up in the morning, does anybody of us wake up full of hatred? Do we wake up full of lust and full of covetousness and full of health? We wake up every day and we think to ourselves, oh, we're going to do the day, right? And by midday, it's already, we're deep into our stuff. Not much different from yesterday. Still chasing the dollar. Where can I cut my corners? Who can I avoid? What commitments? And so on. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you also have to help. Because these forces, they are really powerful in the heart. Kulam is batlu. All of them have to be null and void. Kidei sheyuchel likones divrei Torah b'lev Yisrael. Moshe demands to be allowed to put the Torah in our hearts. Ba'achshav, and now that Moshe Rabbeinu has prefaced what he said, what he's about to say, and he sort of shushed and made quiet the mind, made quiet the heart, and invited the body to open up and receive and to give. Hischil daber hadivrei Torah Yisrael. So now Moshe Rabbeinu actually begins to speak what he has to say, mikivan shehishtikulu, since he's silenced all the powers. What does he say? Hatzur tomim po'aloi. The works of the rock, of the mighty one, are perfect. Pirish, the Ishbitz says, Shizois teidu v'tovinu. This you have to know and to understand. Ki kol ma'aseh sha'atem oisim hakol hu mimenu. This is the original Ishbitz Torah. God is in charge of the world. Hatzur tomim po'aloi. It doesn't just mean that God's works are perfect in the sense of it's just and this. No, God's work is perfect, meaning that everything that's happening in the world is God. Hakol u'memeni yisborach milodoy, and without God, lo yoram ish es yodo v'esragde. Nobody's lifting a hand or a foot. La'asis ezedover to do anything in this universe. V'lo tiskeyu b'maasechem klal. Moshe says, don't be proud of what you do if you're a big tzaddik, because who are you? God is in charge. And now the Ishbitz says, what about the other side? Shiche is loy loy. But if you do something wrong, I'm asking you, Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't blame God. Here, I need you to take the opposite tack. Hainu, pentoimru, if lest you say, hoi v'hakoy b'dei shemaim, since everything is in the hands of heaven. In Cain, therefore, hachesroinu tziyesh lechem, gam kein b'mena yichasu chalila. So then you can blame God for all your faults. God forbid. Al toimru kein, Moshe says, don't do so. Don't say so. Ki kala toiv shatim oisim titlu b'Hashem Yisborach. Attribute all the good things that you do to God. The kala chesroinus and all the faults, titlu b'chem, attribute them to yourselves. Why? In my understanding of Ishbitz is that the truth is sometimes we really work hard to be good, right? Sometimes we go to an effort and we make choices, and even if you come afterwards and you say, yeah, God really made the choice, but you know what? We make some really hard choices and we put in some real effort. So Moshe says, if you then give that to God, and you say, God, you know, I don't take any pride, I don't even own that good deed, you did it. And when a person does something bad, if I don't blame God, I said, you know, God, you know, I should have done better, I'm really embarrassed, what did I do? And instead of blaming God, I blame myself. Then God acts with us, middle connected middle, measure for measure. In the way that we measure God, God measures us. God says, you know what, it's just the opposite. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what you did. All the good things that you do, I'm going to say, you did them, not me. And all the bad things, I'm going to say, I did them. Comes out, it's a little bit of a game, right? It's an illusion that we're going along with a farce, right? But if you take the next step, where do we get the strength to make those kind of choices, to say, I'm going to attribute all the good I do to God and I'm going to attribute the bad I do to me, if I believe that God is in charge, then how do I have the freedom to make such a choice even in my mind, right? Isn't that contrary? Am I not running contrary? Am I saying that my actions are up to God, but my thoughts are mine? The Ishbitzer says, no, even my thoughts are mine. So then, if that's the case, what's the point? So the Ishbitzer has a really profound understanding. He says, you know, I don't really want to do something, but I want to do something. Maybe I don't really want to be good, you know, but I want to be good. The truth is, I don't really want to be good, you know, I like to do my, but you know something? I wish I were the kind of person who wanted to want to be good. Who am I kidding? Right? I like to be a shababnik. But you know something, deep somewhere inside me there's a Hershelo who thinks, oh, wouldn't it be nice, Hershey, if you were the kind of Hershey who really wanted to actually be the kind of Hershey who you could really be. Deeper and deeper inside me, I'm getting deeper into like my desire, like who? Maybe I don't really honestly have a desire to be good, but I have a desire for a desire. I wish. And the Ishbitzer is asking us, you know, that we have to keep on going deeper and deeper to find out, like, what do you really want? What do you, Amos, what's the truth about what you really want? Get down to the core you and have a look. And you know something? When you get down to the core you, you'll find the you that God made. And you'll find that you're acting that way, the way that your deepest desires are, because God says, I will lead you how you want to go, and the desires that are inside you are the desires at the profoundest level of your neshama, even deeper than we are consciously aware of ourselves. Back to the text, Bonav Mumam, his children, their fault, Hainu, Ba'oise Mokim Shehim Bonav, his children, God's children, mumam, their blame, their fault, right? A mum is a blemish. A ben is a child. Bonav, that place where you are God's child, meaning that place where you are most the expression of God in this world, that place where you are an individual and you express something of the divine in a way that nobody since the beginning of creation has expressed. That place where you are unique, where you are an expression of the DNA of God, so to speak, right? Where you are, there's never been anybody like you, not Moshe, not David HaMelech, not Avraham Avinu, nobody expressed God in this way like you are as you. In that very same place, Mumam, that is where the blemish is. They are the same thing. Bonav Mumam. So that place where we most express the divine, that is where our deepest fault and character flaw is. And they are flip sides of each other. Kikal HaGodol Mechabero, because as the Gemara says, there's a rule, whoever is greater than the other, than his friend, Yitzroi Godol Memenu, his desires, his Yitzhara, his evil desires are greater, are stronger. Not because somebody who has a powerful mind also has powerful desires. That's not what the Ishbitz is saying. In that place where you are greater than somebody else, that is where your Yitzhara manifests. Doir Ikesh of Saltoin, a warped and twisted generation. The Ishbitzer explains the difference between warped and twisted. Ikish Hainimish Mis Akish. The Ishbitzer translates the word Ikish not as warped but as like an action. We say in Yiddish an action meaning somebody who's stubborn and mulish. Shemis Akish Neged Hashem. Ve'ein Oisrutz Hashem Machmas Shenimshach Achahanuas Atzmui. Somebody who is so somebody who is so intent on following his desires that he puts his foot down and says, no, I'm not going to follow God, I want to follow my heart, and I don't care what God says. That is ikesh. That's an action. That's warped. Upsaltril, what is twisted? Ulehepech, That's just the opposite. Shemesagif u'magdiris atzmei b'mokim she'ein tzorech klal. That's somebody who is so frum that he puts so many boundaries around himself when he didn't ought to, when he didn't need to. U'ma'anis atzmei, and he ends up suffering and causing himself suffering yoisim idai more than he needs to. Who said the halacha demanded that of you? Oh, now I want to be very careful. Who says you have to be careful? Well, I don't want to come to, you know, that's psalter, that's twisted. That's just as much a sin. It's written in Proverbs, somebody who troubles his flesh is cruel. And that is, that's the flip side of somebody who refuses to bow and forego the pleasures of the flesh because he's so intent on getting his gratification. He says he turns his back on God. And then there's somebody else who denies himself any kind of gratification because he's so afraid of losing touch with God that he actually loses touch with God, because it requires a balance. Because in that place where we are born of, that's where the mum is. And if you put such a big boundary around it, because you're afraid of the mum, you're afraid of the blemish, you're afraid of your character defect, you make such a big boundary around it, then you end up not being the child. Hal Hashem Tigmelu Zois. So Deshbitz goes on with his thesis. So you think you're going to attribute all your bad to God. He's your father. Your master. God is like our father. He's also like our father-in-law. The way of a father, even if the child isn't doing the right thing, a father, you know, if somebody complains to me, my children are bad, right? What do I say? Oh, yeah, sure, I have the worst children in the world. No, I'm saying, I say, it must be my fault, right? So God is our father. So the father-in-law, he's the one who goes looking for the son-in-law, for his daughter. So he goes looking for somebody with virtues, somebody he can be proud of. A fine, upstanding young man. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, why are you talking like this to God and blaming him? He's your father. He treats you like a child. He doesn't talk bad about you. He blames himself when you're bad. Kanecho, and he's also like your father-in-law. Shemipor atzmo yishatim ha-mu'ulim ha-mishbochim. He says, look at my son-in-law. Psst, look, you see the son-in-law. See how he takes care of my daughter? And he's so proud of you, like a stranger who's meeting you, and you're 20 years old, and he's like, he can't get over how full of virtue and how accomplished you are. Kamo shemispar ha-choysen, like the father-in-law who takes pride, kishyesh le'chosen toiv. I want to go to the end. Ki chelik Hashem amui. The very last Torah. Ki chelik Hashem amui. God's portion is His people. The way the Ishbitz understands the way the world is created, it's as though God said, I am me, but I'm going to make a place in the world for people to deny me, because I want people to discover me. If I make myself so obvious in the world that you can't avoid knowing that I'm here, kind of takes the pleasure out of being human. Being human means that you can be curious and more curious, and you can tell stories, you know? If God is there in the room with you, you're not going to tell stories about Him, right? We are the humans. We, we, We've invented some amazing things. We've invented stories. Trees don't have stories, right? Fish don't have stories. Horses don't have. Humans have stories. And also we have boredom. We have amazing thing. We have boredom. Right? Human beings invented the most amazing invention of all, right? Like, what am I going to do next? I want a thrill. These things are what make us who we are. They are what gives the human mind its unique qualities. God says, I want to withdraw, I want to make room for all the stories that the world could possibly bring forth. Because somewhere in there is the storyteller who loves making stories about me. So Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu is telling stories about God. And here we are, 3,500 years later, and we're still telling stories about God. Because we're still telling stories about Avraham Avinu. But that's because we're humans. This is what we do, right? So God allows the stories, and God is sort of, says, I will be in the stories, and I'll do my part. I'll act my part. And so, the nations of the world, each one has its she'ifa, we talked about, each one has its genius, which is in the upper world manifests as a small g god. And they are sort of like avatars or whatever. Before the creation of the world, God looks around and he sees all these getchkes and he says, all right, like, Hevra, let's divide the world. Who do you want? You know, so this getchke says, you know, I want to take those Egyptians. They look like winners, you know. And this one says, I'll take the Romans, you know. And this one says, I'll take the Americans. And nobody wants the Yidelach, right? And God says, all right, I'll take the Yidelach. Of course, that's the original plan, but well, you wouldn't think so when it comes to sharing, because everybody says, no, not the Jews. I won't take the Jews. Let somebody else take the Jews. And then God says, oh, there's nothing left. I guess I'll just have to take the Jews. Chelek Hashem Amui. God's portion, God's inheritance is the Jewish people. And God says, you know, I have faith in these little guys here. People, you know, and the other getchkes, they said, come on, look at those. Like they did. You want somebody strong, you want some territory, some mountains, some good rivers or something. You know. God says, no, I have faith in these Yidelach. I'll bet my Yidelach against your legions. I'll bet my Yidelach against your civilizations. I'll bet my Yidelach against your languages and so on and so on. Right? And here we are. So the Ishbitzer says, Tzura Dishmatzah, Kol HaTorah, the shape, Tzura Dishmatzah, the shape, the Tzura, the picture. If you were asked to, in 10 sentences or less, somebody says to you, give me an example from the Bible that sort of epitomizes the whole Bible, what would you choose? The Ishbitzer says, I would choose Hazinu. The Parsha of Hazinu, that's it. That is the Tzura Dishmatzer, that's the face on the coin of the Torah. Shira Hazinu, this song. Kedisa b'Gemara, Shekala Torah Nikra Shira. The Gemara says the whole Torah is called a song. V'Ikur Shira Hazinu, but the Parsha, which is a song, is this second to last one, which is called Hazinu. And now the Ishbitzer goes, the next step, he says, Mitzura Dishmatzah Shal Shira Sanzino, if you were to, somebody were to say to you, so what's the shape of the song of Hazinu? Hu HaPosuk Hazeh. This is this verse. Shemoira, which teaches, Shekavonas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bebriyas Kulam, that God's Kavana in the creation of everything, that's for the Yidelach, who are his portion. V'chevel nachlosoi, and the lot, the migrash, the area, the acre, where the farm of God's inheritance. V'Yisrael yamlichu es Hashem Yisbarach b'chol lev v'nefesh. And in the end, the Jewish people are going to make God king, sovereign of the world, the universe, inside every heart and every soul in the universe. Because God trusts us to do that. That is our